Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Well, let me get to the point. Let's roll another joint and turn the radio loud. I'm too alone to be proud. And you don't know how it feels. You don't know how it feels to be me.
Jim Toronto here at WGN, 720 AM. Filling in for Nick DiGilio. Been here Wednesday, Thursday, and now Friday. And be here till 5 a.m. So, I was looking in the paper the other day and saw this story that I found kind of interesting. About 10 years ago, maybe even more, they started to sell these kits to make beer in your house. It was kind of a novelty. Oh, make your own beer. Make your own beer. And then suddenly, some people started to get very creative and started to make not only just a regular kind of beer, but they started to get a little inventive with different flavors and different spices. And thus, the birth of the craft beer craze, which is now fully part of the spirits industry. Craft beer is probably the biggest growing segment. And you know that when the big boys, the big beer, if you will, those big companies start to not only try to make their own, but they wound up gobbling up many of these small little breweries. And these guys that were doing this in their basements become multimillionaires. It's kind of a millennial thing. I don't know. Dan, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 35.
Oh, so you're a millennial.
Yeah, I
mean, right?
I think I'm technically Generation Y. It's like I'm in that.
Yeah, but you're still. Yeah, I know, but you're right on the.
But I'm on the cusp.
You're on the cusp.
I'm close
right?
enough. Yes.
So, are you a craft beer drinker?
No.
You're not.
I am not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I've got a godson who's like 32, and he is Mr. Craft Beer.
Right.
I go out with him, and he doesn't even look at the food menu. And now you go to a restaurant, the beer menu
right.
is thicker than the food menu.
Sure, absolutely. I am definitely, of my group of friends, I am definitely more of the anomaly a lot, you know.
Oh, really? Yeah, they're all.
I was at a Friendsgiving party on Sunday, and they're like, oh, we bought this, and
yeah.
it's a, you know, rare barrel age, yada, yeah. yada, yada, yada. And I'm,
yeah,
and
isn't there an IPO or some kind of beer? What
right,
is it?
Yeah,
IPO, IPA, something like that?
The one we tried was a sour beer that was just awful. And I'm just like, I'm good with my Miller Lite.
When I go with my godson, he's like, you know, he's always, you know, got the latest one. And I've even done some segments with him. I call it the millennial meter. So to find out if I'm still cool, I throw stuff at him to let me know if I'm cool with the millennials. And he's always like, oh, try this beer. So I go, okay, whatever beer you're getting, just order one for me and I'll see what it is. You know, hibiscus and all this other stuff. And so that I've never been a real big beer drinker anyway. So for me, it's, you know, I always used to make the joke when I was, turned 21 and we all went to the bars, everybody's getting beers. And it's like, I said, just give me whatever else, you know, in my view, I always thought there's really at all these breweries, there's one spigot and 17 different labels. It all tasted the same. Now it doesn't. I mean, now it's legitimate.
Right.
And as you said, it could actually be really bad at times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But so I found it interesting. Now, they said as the craft beer craze has taken over, as we know, I think right now there are 8 states that have legalized marijuana for recreational use and another 26 for medicinal purposes. So, you know, do the addition. There's only 50 states, my last count, right? So we're almost there. And so while the craft beer craze has certainly taken hold, and people are, you know, looking to profit on that. A lot of entrepreneurs and people in the beer business, because they are in kind of the, you know, the spirits and the kind of consumer, let's have fun hospitality sector. A few people are beginning to quietly invest in cannabis companies, waiting for when the federal government finally legalizes marijuana. Right now, it's a state-by-state basis. Federally, it's still against the law. Now, Dan, we were talking before about what's the loophole with the money?
So because it is against the law, no federally insured bank can hold the money they make. And so as a result,
because that's like illegal money.
Right, right. So I mean,
according to the federal government,
the federal government is as bad as getting it from prostitution,
right,
or cocaine, or
right,
anything,
an illegal
that
thing.
Right. So there's been a couple interesting news stories about just the insane ways these companies have to transport these hundreds of thousand dollars worth of cash around town to the places that will hold them securely, so they can not worry about having their money stolen from their facilities, you know. And it's like 12-person operations. They drive three or four trucks that look exactly the same. And it's like transporting the president. One of them has the cash, one of them doesn't. They take different routes every day. They spend different amounts of time on certain cars every day.
You were telling me that story, and it reminded me, I love old TV shows, and there's a classic episode of the Andy Griffith Show where they get a phone call and they tell Andy that there's going to be a gold truck coming through Mayberry. And he and Barney Fife have to guard this truck while it drives through Mayberry on its way somewhere else. And so, of course, you know, Andy tells Barney, now don't tell anybody. And the first thing Barney does is tell some, because they're supposed to just drive through. You know, very unassuming. This truck is just supposed to drive through and no one's supposed to know. So, of course, Barney tells somebody. And in Mayberry, it spreads around town. And so the next thing you know, when the truck comes through, there's a whole parade in town. And there's Gomer and everybody and Aunt Bee and Opie. And they're all cheering. And they've got a big sign that says, "Welcome, Gold Truck." And so the guy that, you know, from the federal government, he gets out of the truck. He looks at Andy like, "Oh, nice job, you know." And so they put Barney in the truck to guard the gold while they go and get some gas. And while Barney's in the back of the truck with the gold, he gets a little curious and he opens up one of the boxes and he realizes there's sand in the boxes. And so now he starts screaming. He goes, "Hey, what the heck's going on here? You know, this is a scam." And he starts screaming, "What's going on?" And so they throw him, you know, they close the door on him and they drive away. And Andy gets wind of this and he cuts off the truck somewhere and he goes, "What the heck's going on here? You got my deputy in there." And so then he's talking to the guy and he comes over and it's just the same thing. The truck going through Mayberry was the decoy truck, and meanwhile there was another truck going a separate route. So you're saying that's what they're kind of doing?
They set up a decoy truck.
But how crazy is it? Because it's legal money within the state,
right?
They're not breaking the law, but federally
they are.
And because a bank would say, to your point, like you just said, "Hey, this is illegal money. We can't." It's like money laundering. It would be kind of if they accepted, if a federally insured bank accepted that money. And it's interesting because, as I said when I was talking to Patty Vasquez earlier, when I was down there before the show started, 64% right now of people think that marijuana should be legalized. Ironically, in 1969, when Gallup started to first ask this question, should marijuana be legalized? In 1969, that's when Woodstock happened, when it was everybody, you know, drugs, and you know, that was the whole thing. Only 12% in the Woodstock generation. So here we are, you know, 40 some years later, and almost 50, and 68%. You know it's going to happen. I don't know why it's taking so. Now, Illinois, we're medicinal, right?
We are medicinal, and it's under a certain ounce weight, you just get a ticket.
Yeah, but you know, if you remember before, we played these games when they were trying to legalize the riverboats. If you remember that, Governor Edgar was in charge at the time, and so they okayed a riverboat, but the boat, you know, they had the casinos on the riverboat, but according to the law, the boat had to go off the dock and go out into the water so that the criminal element could not infest the boat because it was at sea. So you had to get on this boat in this big, you know, water, you know, water-based casino, had to leave the dock and go around for 2 hours and then drive back. You know, what a sham that was. So they realized how silly that was. So then it was, okay, the riverboat doesn't have to leave, but you have to take the gangplank away. So it's docked, but it's not connected to land. It's not a land-based casino. And so, you know, there was all this worry about, you know, the criminal element or, you know, the organized crime getting involved. And they were just they're being way too protective. And I think they maybe realized, but they, from the public standpoint at that point, they wanted to make it sound and feel as if this is above board. So then the gangplank went away. And then finally they said, okay. So then you could leave it docked and have the gangplank up. And then they were still like, you know, why are we playing these games? So finally, logic got into the situation. And they just said, you know what? Just build a casino with a door. Don't worry about paddles and river boats. What are we, in New Orleans? I mean, what are we? So now we've got, you know, the Rivers Casino. That one is called the Rivers Casino in Des Plaines, you know. But it's land-based, you know, and enough with that. So it seems as if, you know, there's a majority of people clearly are finally saying that, you know, marijuana should be legalized. It seems that there's a lot of tax money that certainly can be made from this in a time when we are looking for new revenue sources. And when you see entrepreneurs investing, that's when you know. I mean, according to this one guy that used to work for Anheuser-Busch, and now he is on his own, and he just invested into a company that's aiming to be the Amazon of weed. And basically, what this guy says is, when consumers want something, you ignore it at your peril. And that's what our society is about. It's supply and demand. And I think that even though medically we don't know everything there is to know about the long-term effects of marijuana, but that argument that has always been made, which is a valid argument, if alcohol is legal and we know the effects of that and we've seen the medical effects as well as the social effects in terms of drunk driving, if that can be legal, then why isn't marijuana? And there was a stigma, and there was the whole drug thing and the gateway drug and the whole 60s and even 40s and 50s, you know, hopheads and all this stuff about drugs. But several states already have not only legalized them from recreational purposes, but they have made more. Colorado has made more money than they ever expected to make. And so it's only a matter of time before governments say, okay, it's time for us to jump aboard. And it's probably only a matter of time until the federal government, you know, finally does this. As I said, 8 states have already have it legal for recreational use, and 21 states, I'm sorry, allow it for medicinal. The industry hit the $6 billion mark in 2016. Now, I mean, you know, I'm not, to be honest, I probably I certainly experimented when I was in high school, but I'm not a pot smoker, so it doesn't matter to me. But if it's a way to make money, and look, think how many years that's been an untapped source just because of our own kind of puritanical view. So today, craft beer. Tomorrow, craft pot. And I mean, if you go, have you ever been to Europe, Dan? Have you ever?
I have been to London, but that's it.
You haven't been to Amsterdam?
I have not been to Amsterdam.
I mean, apparently, you know, that's the pot capital of the world in terms. You literally can get a menu of all these different marijuanas that do. Oh, do you want to feel happy? Take this one. You want to feel paranoid? Take that one.
I had friends who did a multi-country trip, and they said at the border of Amsterdam, there's just literally thousands of bongs because you can't carry them across the border into the next
country. Oh, really? So they just leave the bongs there?
Them. People just have to ditch them right in that area.
So. Oh, my God. How funny of that is that? I never thought of that. Well, if we can recycle those bongs, please don't throw them in the water because, you know, they might get stuck with all those big flowing garbage things from Japan. So anyway, we shall see. Is the next craze, maybe it's not the fidget. It's not the Fitbit. Is that the thing called Fitbit? Is that
the Fitbits? Where, yeah,
yeah, that's the thing with your steps.
Wrists, yeah.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Where did the 10,000 steps come from? Like, where did we get 10,000? Is that the same place that for many years said you're supposed to have 8 bottles of water a day? And then now you talk to your doctor and go, you know, that's a lot of water to drink. Where did 10,000 steps? Why not 100,000 or 50? Where did we get 10? Who knows? But as Tom Petty said there, let's roll another joint. We'll see what happens. You could be rolling them. I'm going to take a quick break. No switching.